As we continue through 1 Peter, we come to chapter 4, verse 7. But before we get there, got to tell you about Laverne and Shirley. Some of you are old enough to remember Laverne and Shirley. And probably my two favorite characters on that show, you remember Lenny and Squiggy? They were always good for, hello. Yeah, they were always good for some kind of weirdness. But one of the episodes I was thinking of when I was thinking about this sermon, you know, you don't know, you don't want to know how sermons are made. But as I was thinking about this passage of scripture, one of the episodes came to mind, and I'm not going to be giving the correct quote because I didn't take the time to find the episode, but Lenny had on like a Letterman jacket, and the girls asked him, what's your jacket mean? And he says, it says lone wolf. Because I am the lone wolf, and I don't need anybody, I don't need anything, I can handle anything that comes up. And they said, but it doesn't say lone wolf, it says one wolf. And he takes it off, he goes, oh, the L fell off. But I tell you that story so that when you remember that story, hopefully you'll remember this, that in these days we cannot afford to be lone wolf or one wolf believers. We need each other. Remember the writer of Hebrews. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And in our scripture passage today, Peter gives us four principles to help us do what I'm calling today, maintaining Christian community in the last days. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Peter begins this section by saying the end of all things is near. He is not saying by that Christ is going to come back in the next week and a half. I mean, we know that's not what happened. But probably what he is saying is Christ has been raised, he has ascended back to heaven, and the next big thing on God's redemptive calendar is the rapture, when Christ comes back and we rise to meet him in the air and go to heaven. And he says, I've been reminding you of that your hope is in Christ's return. That's one of those repeated themes through 1 Peter, that your hope is tied to the return of Christ. So basically what he is saying is the next big thing on God's calendar is Christ returning for us. So the end of all things is near. We're just waiting on the next big thing. And one of the things that we've seen through the book of 1 Peter is the tension that believers experience between living in this world and our ultimate citizenship being in heaven. And there is that tension because we are still here, we still have responsibilities here, but our ultimate home is in heaven. As we live in that increasing tension, as a believer in a world that is increasingly hostile to Christianity, we need each other. We need the support and encouragement of other believers. We do not need to be one wolf, lone wolf believers. We need each other. And Peter gives us these four things to do to help us maintain community in these last days. The first thing he says, be alert and clear-minded, sober-minded, so you can pray. These next few minutes will be familiar to you if you were here or have watched or listened to the sermon from April the 16th, from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, which is almost a direct quote of chapter 4, verse 7. And we talked about the end times go bag. There'll be a link in the comment description section that you can go to that sermon if you would like to have more elaboration of this first concept. Be alert and clear-minded so you can pray. The English Standard Version says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers." Have a prepared mind. Be alert. That word means to be steady in your mind. It can actually mean sanity. And someone said, I think it was William Barclay, defined sanity as the ability to see things in their proper proportions, which is a pretty good, practical definition of that word. He continues by saying, it's only when we see the affairs of earth in the light of eternity that we see them in their proper proportions. It's when God is given his proper place that everything else takes its proper place. So Peter says, in these last days, it's important to be alert, to have a prepared mind. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, be not quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be troubled. Proverbs 23:7, you know, as you think in your heart, so are you. Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's important for us to keep our minds alert. So much so in these days where we need to be alert to what's happening. How do you have a prepared mind? Well, you've got to put out of your mind and try to keep out of your mind all of the things that will hinder your spiritual sanity. I don't have any idea what any of this means, but I follow some people on Twitter. And apparently there's some new rule on Twitter. It kind of blew my mind that because of something or other, if you're a verified user, you can only read 6,000 threads a day. 6,000 threads. And people are fussing. How am I going to keep up with things if I can only read 6,000? I think maybe they've kind of lost some perspective. Huh? You know, keep out of your mind the things that are going to hinder your spiritual sanity, the ability to see things clearly. Any media, you know, social media for sure. Just be careful what you let in. You know, the computer techs have a GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. You put garbage into your brain, that's what you're going to get out. And it's important for us to guard our minds. To do that, we must keep Christ at the center of our minds and our thoughts, rather than being controlled by the things outside of us. We need to be directed from within. Keep Christ at the center of our minds. And this has been kind of rumbling around in my spirit the last few hours. It's important for churches to address the issues of the day, but I think it's more important that churches help its people keep their focus on God. You know, we don't need to come to church and all sit around and talk about how bad everything is. We know how bad everything is. There's lots of places where you can talk about how bad everything is. Church ought to be a place where, yes, we acknowledge we're living in a world that's increasingly hostile to our faith. However, God is still God. He is still sovereign. He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. And a key to keeping our minds prepared is keeping them focused on Christ. So I was thinking about that. I thought about Rudyard Kipling's little poem or whatever it is called, If. You know, and there's a line in it where, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. that's a hard place to be. Some smart aleck rewrote it. If you can keep your head when all around you are losing theirs, you obviously don't know the seriousness of the situation. But it's important for us to keep our minds fixed on Christ. And we do that by using the scriptures as the clarifying agent and filter for our thoughts. Keep your mind prepared. And be sober-minded. This actually has with it the idea of controlling your emotions. The phrase sober there is translated sober in a lot of translations because the definition of the word used there means not to be intoxicated. In other words, he's saying, have your emotions under control. Don't live in a frenzy. Don't live in a panic. Keep your focus. Be sound in your judgment. Keep your mind prepared. Keep your emotions controlled so that you can pray. 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let's not be like others who are asleep, but let's be alert and self-controlled. Jesus in Matthew 26 to his sleeping disciples said, watch and pray so that you won't fall into temptation. The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. So what Jesus is saying is what Peter is saying here. Your minds need to be prepared. Your emotions need to be controlled so that you can pray. A key to maintaining Christian community in these days is a prayerful life. And you know, if you reflect back on your own experience, that you, when your emotions are all over the board and your thoughts are all over the board, it's hard to pray as God wants us to pray. But as we keep our mind fixed on Him, as we keep our emotions under His control, our prayer life will be more powerful, and we will be better able to maintain community with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Prayer is such an important element in maintaining Christian community. I found a couple of quotes about this kind of prayer. Those who know the contours of history are able to assess the significance of the present. Their sensible and alert thinking is to be used for prayer, for entreating God to act and move in the time that still remains. The realization that God is bringing history to a close should provoke believers to depend on Him, and this dependence is manifested in prayer. For in prayer, believers recognize that any good that occurs in the world is due to God's grace. Another one said, this is the prayer that calls on and submits to God in the light of reality seen from God's perspective, and thus obtains power and guidance no matter how evil the time may be. So as we keep our minds prepared and disciplined, as we keep our emotions controlled, we are able then to pray for one another. We are able to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are able to pray. And it's significant that Peter wrote this. Peter, who fell asleep when Jesus said, watch and pray. Peter, whose mind was not prepared for the betrayal of Christ and takes out his sword in the garden and starts swinging it around. And probably when Jesus rebuked him, Peter's emotions started to spiral out of control, which led to him sitting around the fire with the enemies of Christ, which led to his three denials. And so with that background, Peter's saying, you need to watch and pray. You need to keep your mind focused. You need to keep your emotions under control, and you need to pray. One of the great blessings of being a part of this congregation is that we pray for one another. And, you know, with today's technology, you know, we used to have a prayer chain where one person called one person and then they called the next person. And there was some order of who's going to call who. And if one person missed the call, the whole chain fell apart. Email is a wonderful thing. Texts are a wonderful thing to be able to communicate. This is what's going on in so-and-so's life. Please pray. And to know that this group of people take that seriously and pray for one another. That's part of maintaining Christian community. It is frightening to go through a crisis alone. But as we pray for one another, we're reminded we're not alone. The second principle he gives us in maintaining Christian community in these days is to love each other deeply. Verse 8. This is, again, a reminder. I told you, what, a week or so ago, I feel like I'm repeating myself a lot through this series because Peter repeats himself a lot. And this phrase, love one another deeply from the heart, echoes chapter 1, verse 22, and he basically says the same thing. He wants us to love one another, and it's the agape love. It's the divine love of 1 Corinthians 13 that never gives up, that cares more for other people than itself, that doesn't strut, that isn't proud, doesn't force itself on others, isn't me first, doesn't keep score of the sins of other people. Peter says, love one another deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Now we need to sit here for a minute. He is not saying ignore sin. He is not saying let sin slide. It does not mean that you cover up abuse. You know, there are places where say, well, we knew this abuse was going on, but you know, love covers the multitudes, and that's not what this verse means at all. What he's talking about is giving each other the benefit of the doubt. The world doesn't do that. The church should. Again, not ignoring sin, not letting sin or abuse slide, but giving each other the benefit of the doubt. Somebody's missed 4 weeks of church in a row. Ah, they must be backslid. Or maybe we should give them a call, send them a text or an email and say, is everything okay? Because maybe they got called to go visit a family member who was in deep distress and they needed to help them out. Maybe they're going through health issues. Maybe there's something else going on. Do you remember early in your love relationship how you just give each other the benefit of the doubt? And when your love starts to wane, you don't give each other the benefit of the doubt anymore? Good morning. What do you mean by that? You know, we need to guard that. We need to love one another deeply. Give each other the benefit of the doubt. Somebody said the community that loves one another is able to forgive one another more rapidly when minor issues arise. Again, thinking back to marriage, you know how it is when your love is strong that you cover over each other's faults. When love is fading, each other's faults become magnified, and that's all you seem to focus on. It says, love one another deeply. Love covers a multitude of sins. Where love abounds, someone wrote, in a fellowship of Christians, many small offenses are readily overlooked and forgotten, but where love is lacking, every word is viewed with suspicion. Every action is liable to misunderstanding, and conflicts are bound to Satan's delight. Maybe you've been in a church like that, where everything was second-guessed and magnified because love was gone. And as I was studying this, I discovered that the verb tenses that are used carry with it the idea of persistence. In other words, keep loving one another deeply. Don't give it up. If we're going to maintain Christian community, we're going to have to love. Peter says, above all, love each other deeply. I'm going to ask you to think with me here. Matthew 24, verse 12. In the King James, it says something like, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. And we look at this, you know, and the only way I've ever interpreted that is, you know, things are going to get so evil in the world that Christians are going to start to compromise and they're going to lose their love for God. But in this context, I think there's something else going on. I think what Jesus meant is this. And I haven't thought this through completely, so it'll probably sound like I haven't thought this through completely. Our world is increasingly evil. Our world is increasingly intolerant, increasingly angry. And if we're not careful, that will take a toll on us. And we will carry some of that anger and intolerance and hostility into our relationships, even within the church. The only illustration I can think of, and again, please, this is an illustration. Don't take every point of it. This is an illustration. The first office job I had was part of how I worked my way through school. I shared an office space about the size of the little foyer out there with a lady who, as they would say in those days, smoked like a chimney. I learned what a chain smoker was from her because I actually saw her, you know, that's what you could smoke anywhere. I actually saw her light the next cigarette from the one that she had just finished smoking so that she never, you know, and you know, when I left that office, I smelled like smoke. In those days, if you went into a convenience store, you came out smelling like smoke just because you were in the atmosphere. And I think there is an element to where you live in a world in which we're living today. It kind of sticks to you. The atmosphere, the anger, the hostility, the impatience. Aren't you finding people more and more impatient with everybody everywhere you go? And if we're not careful, that will cause our love to fade. I don't think he's talking about compromise. I think he's talking about when you're around anger all the time, you tend to be angrier. When you're around hostility all the time, it rubs off. Well, and you know that. You know that at your job. You know that in the classroom. You know that, you know, in your families, maybe. You've had a family reunion and everybody left mad because everybody was mad there. And it's so, and then other times you left and everybody was happy because it was happy. And again, I'm not saying, you know, nobody, I'm not talking about losing your faith. I'm just saying that Jesus said in the last days, because wickedness will increase, it will become more challenging for us to keep our love strong. Don't allow what's happening in the world to infiltrate your spirit. Don't allow what's happening in the world to infiltrate the church. I saw it happen, and I'm convinced there were reasons why it happened. There was a summer, one of the churches I pastored, a summer and early fall, where we had more conflict in that church than just about any I could remember as far as extended, protracted conflict. Two things happened. It was in Georgia. The first thing that happened, it was one of those Georgia summers where the cold snap was 108. Yeah. And everybody was hot and everybody was miserable and nobody could keep cool and people were miserable. And the second thing that happened was the Braves lost the World Series. And it was the year the Braves were playing the Dodgers in the World Series. And the games were not over. If you're watching them in our time zone, the games aren't over till 1 o'clock in the morning. So people weren't getting enough sleep. They were hot and miserable, and they were mad that the Braves lost the World Series, and it came into the church. Because, you know, if you walk in here mad, you're going to make a couple other people mad, you know? And so Jesus says, as wickedness increases, your love will tend to get cold. So Peter says, as the end of all things is near, above everything else, love one another deeply, because love will cover a multitude of sins. Don't allow the wickedness of this world to cause your love to grow cold. We need each other. And we need a safe place. We need a place where we can come and know that we are loved, and know that we are accepted, and know that we are prayed for, and know that we are cared for. That's what the church is supposed to be. And that's what Peter's talking about, maintaining Christian community in the challenge of these days. The third thing he says, verse 9, is to be hospitable. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Peter does something interesting here. He takes the word hospitality, which the Greek word that he used there literally means the love of strangers, but he applies it to the church and our love toward one another. It's what Paul indicates in Galatians chapter 6, where he says, do good to everybody, especially those of the household of faith. Peter takes the concept of being hospitable to strangers and says, you need to be hospitable, especially to the family of believers. And if God wants us to be kind to people we don't know, how much more he wants us to be kind to those we do know? A few weeks ago, you may remember, we talked about how important it is in your interpretation of Scripture to understand how the first readers would interpret what Peter wrote. And in those days, there was intense persecution, as you know, and some Christians basically lost everything they had. And so that's why, you know, Matthew 25 talks about, you know, sharing with other people, and Acts talks about sharing with other people. Also, because of that persecution, people were having to leave certain areas for their own safety. And so a lot of Christians are traveling to try to find someplace safe. And there weren't safe places for Christians to stay when they traveled. The inns were unclean. The proprietors were often untrustworthy. Often those inns doubled as brothels. So it wasn't a place that a Christian would want to stay. And so it was expected that believers would provide help for other believers as they went on their way. And what he's saying is, help each other practically. Here is somebody that's on the run to try to protect themselves and their families. They need a place to stay for the night. Let them stay. And don't fuss about it. Now, he's not saying let yourself get taken advantage of, but he's saying be ready to help each other in a practical way. And it may be, as the end of things draws nearer and nearer, that there will be times when we will be called on to help one another in very practical ways in our life. And the fourth thing he says is to serve others with your gifts. Each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others. We all have gifts. He calls it God's grace in its various forms. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, God gives gifts as he chooses. You know, don't complain about what gift you have and why don't you have somebody else's gift. God gave you the gift he gave you for a reason. And each of us are called to be faithful stewards, managers of what gifts and abilities God has given us. And then he says, if you speak, you should speak the words of God. If you serve, you should do it in God's strength. Some people think that he is saying there's two divisions of the spiritual gifts. There are speaking gifts and serving gifts. And you can, if you take some time and thought, divide the list of the gifts in the scripture into speaking and serving. But maybe it's just what he is, because those who serve must also speak, and those who speak must also serve. But it may just be that Peter is not trying to give us a theology of spiritual gifts here. He's just saying, whatever abilities you have, if you speak, make sure that you're speaking God's word, the very words of God. Build up, don't tear down. Encourage, don't discourage. And when you serve, you're going to need God's strength, because serving in these days will wear you out. So he says, speak God's truth, serve in God's power, so that in all things God may be praised. I believe that it was Jesus' intention that the church be an illustration of God's love and grace to this world. Because he said, by this they will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. And so there's no questioning why, when people see the church fighting each other, and it's no longer privately, when churches' fights are news and all over the place, no wonder the world looks at the church and says, they're no different than we are. You know, that church isn't any different than my business. Everybody fussing at each other and calling each other's names. And, you know, and how the church should be a living testimony of God's grace and God's love. I told you some point in our study of 1 Peter about Tertullian, the early church father, who was converted to Christianity because he observed the Christians, and he wrote, behold how they love one another. In these days, when everything's trying to tear us apart, and I mean, you're seeing it. I mean, we're seeing reprobate mind in full force, man. People no longer know the difference between right and wrong. Donna said the other day, I didn't realize reprobate mind also meant stupid. But it sure seems that way, doesn't it? You know, our world has just lost its brain. It's lost its mind. And it's spiritual at its core, because they have refused God. They have rejected God. Read Romans 1. They have rejected God, and God has given them over to a mind that no longer knows the difference between right and wrong. And we're seeing what happens in our society when that happens. It behooves us then, as believers in Christ, that we stick together, that we maintain Christian community. I'm not talking about building a cloister somewhere, but I'm talking about we need each other. And we need to touch base with each other, and we need to pray for one another, and we need to take advantage of opportunities to gather face to face, because as great as technology is, it can't substitute for face to face. We need to be around other believers. I hope that there are days, and I don't want you to feel bad, but I hope that there are days when you come into church and it took everything you had to get here because you really didn't feel like going. And by the time you left, you say, man, I'm glad I went to church. My spirit's up. My faith is up. My hope is up. My perspective is clearer. I trust God a little bit more than I did an hour ago, because I've been with other believers. I've worshiped. I've been in the Word. It makes a difference. We really do need each other. And let's do everything we can to build these principles into our lives, praying for one another, serving one another, being hospitable to one another, and just doing everything we can, above all, loving one another, so that we can be what God wants us to be in this day. Father, it's increasingly difficult to do that, but I pray that you would help us to not be oblivious to what's going on around us, but to take everything that's going on around us to the perspective of eternity, and to the truth of your word. Help us not to get away from your word. Help us not to get away from you. And I pray, Lord, that as we're living in this world where it seems like just about everybody's worn out and angry and frustrated, help it not to rub off on us. Help us to keep the joy of the Lord as our strength. Help us to stay in perfect peace as we keep our minds fixed on you. Help us to love one another and encourage one another and pray for one another. And may the beauty of Jesus be seen in your people, I pray. Not just in this congregation, but around the world, people who name the name of Christ, may we be different because we have each other, and most importantly, because we know you and we know how the story ends. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and give you his peace, now and evermore. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming out today. Thanks for tuning in. You're dismissed.